Welcome, and thanks for joining me today on Mortgage Manager Playbook, a podcast for sales leaders who want to improve their team's sales performance and originate more loans. I'm Pat Sherlock, your host. Today, I'm excited to have this great topic of putting a national recruiting plan together, a program together. It's so important today, and I have the perfect person, my friend Connor Bartley. Connor's well-known within our industry. His Loan Offers Down blog is well-known. I read it every time it's published, and I'm thrilled to have Connor with us. Connor is presently National Recruiting Manager for Lower. Prior to that, he was with Loan Depot and Gateway and other mortgage companies. Hi, Connor.
Hi, Pat. So happy to be here today. I'm looking forward to this.
Well, this is really an important topic. How do you go from really maybe local recruiting to that next level? And national is a different game for sure. And when I was talking to you about it, I was really excited to have you on to share with our listeners what actually is kind of the steps you have to put in place. So let's kind of start with the first topic, which is what's the national components and what does that look like when you're starting out putting a strategy together?
Yeah, so you need to understand what you're working with first, right? Like, where is the organization presently and where do they want to be? Where do we see areas for opportunity and where do we see, you know, areas for infill? So we've got this great frontier in front of us. We're not in every state. So there's a lot of like just dirt that's out there and open to populate. But we got to also be smart about it and make sure it fits within, you know, the strengths of the organization and things of that nature. And so when you're just getting started and establishing the department, let's say, for the company, you really have to approach things with design and not by default. Mm-hmm. It's so important that you don't just start picking up the phone and blowing and going all over, you know, the country and hoping for the best. Hope is never a strategy. You've got to be intentional about what you're doing. So just, you know, carve out whatever time you need with the organization to gain a good understanding of, okay, where is there room for growth? Where do we strategically want to be? And how can we start planting seeds in those markets to make sure that they're aware of the organization, that they're aware that we want to be in that market and what it is that we do well and how we can bring value to that particular loan officer or their team within that area to help them serve their community and partner referral partners.
Well, talk about, and you raised a lot of good questions that I would have, is that when you're moving from a local market to a national presence, you're not going to want to be in every single market. What's the length of time to get up to speed on where you want to be, what your strengths are? Because all mortgage companies say they have the same strengths. And as we well know, they don't. Right. So how do you get the real, like, here's what you really are good at, not what you kind of think you're good at, but what you really, how long did that process take?
Yeah. So you got to start talking to the people that already work there.
Yeah.
You really have to make the effort to reach out to the loan officers, you know, the people in the trenches, who's doing the actual work, what real feedback can you get? Get connected to those folks because also in the future, they're going to be a great ally for you on the recruiting side.
Right.
If you can build a relationship or multiple relationships internally and say, hey, I'm talking with a loan officer in, you know, Kalamazoo, Michigan, right?
Yeah.
And they would love to talk with somebody about how our underwriting team works. You know, would you mind hopping on a call with them? So first, you know, you start internally talking with the loan officers because they're the closest to what it is you're doing. Then talk with the heads of departments and really get their philosophies on how they want to operate and what are the processes that they have in place. Real about what are the challenges and what are the, you know, the areas where we have room for improvement. I mean, at the end of the day, Pat, no company is perfect. And a lot of times we want to pretend that we are.
Yeah.
But you have a lot of trust when you're willing to at least admit some of the faults or shortcomings or areas of improvement that you have as an organization when everyone else is out there pitching, we're the best place on earth.
Yeah.
And you come in and say, hey, we're a pretty great place. We've got our flaws, but here's what they are. So if you can accept that, great. But here's what we do really well. And if it gives you some advantage, then it's perfect, right? And then now you've built some trust and you've built this foundation of, you know, we're not just trying to tell you what you want to hear, but we know who we are and we know what we do well, and we want to be able to bring that to you. And if that helps you out, then great, let's rock and roll.
Well, it's a reality check, and you have to obviously be working with a management team that wants to be realistic. So talk about that whole issue. Instead of them saying to you, okay, go get us 100 loan officers, you really want to get, you know, if it's 20 that actually match what you're good at, then mm-hmm. that's more successful than that. How do you fight against that from top management?
You have to have an honest conversation. Mm-hmm. And set expectations and understand what their expectations are of you.
Yeah.
And then make commitments that you know you can follow, you know, that you can come through on, right? If you're delivering on what you promise, you mm-hmm. build that equity of trust, and then you can show that, hey, I'm on, you know, you can trust that I'm going to do the job I tell you I'm going to do. You know, recruiting is not an overnight success. Like, yeah. You don't just walk into a new company and say, we're going to recruit, and then tomorrow you're going to have a line out the door of people that want to join you. Yeah. There's thousands of options in our industry where people can work. And within our industry, you know, and I've said this before, like there's a multitude of options. There's not a ton of opportunity. And what I mean by that is a loan officer can hang their license and do a loan anywhere. And every company, for the most part, is going to say yes. There's a yes culture to hiring loan officers in mortgage, right? I used to recruit many, many years ago, registered nurses to hospitals. It was the same thing. You know, the hospital needs a nurse. The nurse has a license. Yes, yeah. We will hire that nurse all day. The same holds true in mortgage. You know, if you're a licensed loan officer and you can fund a couple of loans, most companies are going to be interested in hiring you. But that doesn't really always improve the loan officer's situation. Just right. because they can fund a loan there doesn't mean that it's an opportunity. So you really have to kind of gain a better understanding of what opportunities can you offer as an organization that would be unique to that loan officer. What are they going to see as, yeah, that really increases my ability to do this, or that gives me a different platform that I don't have yeah. where I'm at. You're going to leverage these skills that I have to be sort of have a bigger voice within your company. You know, those are all sort of opportunistic things that attract recruits to your organization versus just sort of being the guy with the checkbook saying, how much do you need again? Okay, because the next person's going to come and write a bigger check. So, yeah. And sometimes, if they come for money, they'll leave for money. And so you don't want that to be just like your only strategy, because then you get a revolving door effect. And that can be really difficult. If the, you know, if people start leaving your organization, it becomes a lot harder to bring new people in, because they see everyone's mm-hmm. starting to leave and they start wondering why. So you really have to stay focused on that.
So talking about this issue, and you're raising it really now, it's really quantity versus quality. So you go into a company and you're now head of national recruiting. And the way it works in our world many times is that, all right, if I get one loan per loan officer, I can get 100 of them versus let's get 20 good ones. And good ones, I don't need to, you know, they're going to take longer. How do you buy the buy-in from the senior level? And also, how do you, in other words, it's going to be a longer process than, all right, today we're just going to hire 100 loan officers. How does that all work?
Yeah, so you've got to start building funnel and show how that funnel operates, right? Yeah. If there's no design, you know, then all you're doing is cold calling. Well, then it's really hard to, you know, to say, okay, we're starting here at the top of the funnel with this mm-hmm. step, and then we move them to this step and down yeah. until we're, you know, getting to where, okay, now we're at this place, and this is how long it should typically take, and so on and so forth. You know, every loan officer's time cycle is different. Sometimes they've been waiting for a long time, just holding out for making a move, and then they've reached a breaking point and they want to go tomorrow. Other times you're talking with them and you're just now piquing their curiosity and making them aware of the advantages of making a move. And that's going to take a lot longer time, because right. now, you know, you've opened up Pandora's box, but they're not quite ready to make that commitment yet. So there's going to be a lot of trust building involved. So, but to answer your question, you know, you build that funnel out, you lay out what that looks like from a strategic standpoint, and you say, you know, this will take some time, but if we stay committed to it, what we'll see is a higher level of quality versus quantity. Now, right. I'll make one other point on it, though, Pat, which is it's really important that the company that you're at has an internal structure to help with the quantity that you bring in, right? They're all quality loan officers. They know how to fund a loan. They know how to do the business. Some folks just have not had, and we've talked about this before, like they just have not had the training to know how to do the next loan. And so if you have some internal support, sales training, whatever it is, the structure to help that LO grow their business, even if it's by 6 loans a year, right? Like for a loan officer to add 6 loans a year, that's probably adding $20,000 to their income. It's a right. big deal. That's that's a boat, you know. that's a really nice vacation. That's, you know, something along those lines. So if as a company you can say, hey, we've got, you know, this internally to help you find your way to an extra half loan a month, 6 loans a year, add that up over next year and the year after that, and suddenly you're 18 loans more in 3 years from now than you are today, 60 grand more a year. Like, you know, it starts to really add up, but you have to have those pieces in place to be able to kind of attack things from both sides. And, you know, retention helps with all that too. Like I said before, if you're keeping people on board, you're going to have a much easier time recruiting.
So the quantity versus quality, and you've been in the industry long enough, and I certainly have been, is that there is this mindset of let's throw some more bodies and therefore we're going to make our goals. How do you fight against that? Because I know that you're more along the lines of a quality recruiter.
I mean, throwing bodies at a problem, it's a short-term fix that causes a much longer-term problem. You know, like I've said already, like retention is possibly your greatest recruiting tool. And right. when you can show an organization that takes care of their loan officers and that has a track record of helping them grow their business, then that's an attractive quality to any company out there. Now, granted, I'm not touch loan economics. I don't know any of that stuff, okay? But I'll say this. If I were, you know, cutting checks to bring LOs on board, going into the 2020 and 21 mode, right, and just getting a little crazy with it, and I've got slightly more coming in the door than I've got walking out, I can only imagine that in the future the opposite will be true. And as clawbacks end, as contracts expire, you know, if the amount of money that I bring in the talent impacts their ability to be competitive in their market, then there's a good chance that they're going to be out the door when they have the opportunity to leave. And so you don't want to put yourself into that position where you're painting in the into that corner and really getting into this challenge of, okay, how do we navigate the future? So by focusing on just building quality relationships and attracting the kind of people that really want to be there, putting together a fair deal that's a win for everybody involved, and then making sure that you're continuing to invest and partner with that loan officer after they're home is the best way to continue moving forward, because then that creates momentum that sure. may be a very attractive option.
So talk about this issue of, and I'm curious about what you see, what are loan officers looking for today? And what is attractive today? And what's the typical length of time? Let's say you're looking for, you know, the multiple, we're talking about maybe the 20 million and up person. What makes them look different versus guy or gal who's doing 5 million a year? So what does that look today?
First, what are people looking for? You know, a lot of my conversations center around being competitive. You know, when you really start to reverse engineer what it is a loan officer wants, typically, you know, I think everybody wants to make more money and have more time. And when you reverse engineer that, it boils down to you need more opportunities. And so levers that you can pull to have more opportunities? Will product help you, create more conversations? They're a good way to get a meeting. You know, being competitive in your market on rate is helpful. It gives the loan officer a lot of confidence. You know, lead generation provided by the company can create more opportunities. There's all these things that can help you be, you know, have more opportunities, more at bats. Mm-hmm. Transparency is a word that I hear all the time. You know, there's this desire to be a part of the transparent organization, to know, you know, what's really going on behind the scenes. And someone I talked to earlier today really put it well in that they've worked from home for the last 4 years, and so has the rest of the organization. They're not working in an office. So when there's an organizational change, they want to know about it ahead, or, you know, at the moment that it happens, and not have to find out through some, 3 months later, oh, did you know that so-and-so let, you know, and it's kind of like, what is that? So just the transparent nature of what's going on, make people feel like they're part of the company, that they're included. Those are probably the top two. And then I really think that all of this sort of wraps up into and culminates into partnership. You know, when you are asking a loan officer to make a change, they are in a commission-only position.
Right.
They're only going to make money if they can produce a loan. And so you can't just come in and say, don't worry, we'll pay you more or anything like that, because your what you make is your comp plan times your production. So you got to be able to show that there is a plan that helps them produce loans. Mm-hmm. And if you can successfully share that plan and collaborate with that loan officer on that plan, then that's when you can have a partnership. And where I see things break down in the recruiting process is either someone breaks from what was collaborated upon as the plan changes, or the loan officer doesn't participate in the plan, or there was never a plan.
There was never a plan.
and if that ends up being the case, well, then, you know, there can be some, what's the word I'm looking for? Just some animosity that can form in that scenario. But if the plan is there, then you can have accountability. You know, then there's structure. Then there's something that you can point to go, okay, if things aren't working, well, are you working the plan? Yes. Okay, great. Then all we got to do is adjust the plan. But if it's, are you working the plan? No. And it's like, okay, well, then now we need to come back to that. So it gives you an anchor that allows you to manage in the future, and something that, you know, you agreed upon and everything's, you know, on the up and up. So it's really about just having that partnership.
So talk about technology and how that helps you in the recruiting. In other words, if you're going to go national, it seems like you would have to have a fair amount of technology, because you're outside of your people that you might know, and you're moving into a territory that you may not know them. Talk about how you use that and how do you see that working?
Yeah, I mean, it really boils down to two things, Pat. It's data and a CRM. You know, sure. if you can have those two things, you can do wonders. So as long as you have to have the data so that you can do the research and show the respect to the loan officer that you've at least done some front-end research to know a little bit about who they are and what they do, you know. And so having access to that is, and then two, just having a CRM so you can keep yourself organized. You know, if I spend all day today calling in Georgia, I want to know who I called today, tomorrow, right? I don't want to have to duplicate my efforts. We've got other recruiters on the team. You don't want to have other people calling them the next day. You know, I mean, you don't want to run into those situations that make you look messy and disorganized.
Sure.
So really just leveraging those two things, I think, you know, they help give you tools, the basic tools that you need to go out and be in the market. And then, of course, there's the social aspect of things, which is, you know, your LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, and kind of being able to make connections in those mediums and being able to, you know, find out, you know, you can research who they are to get the data. Okay, see, I see ABC, you know, or Sally Sue loan officer in Kalamazoo, Michigan. Let me see, you know, how they're performing, what are the products they use, those sorts of things. Now I can make a real, like, thoughtful introduction.
Well, talk about putting a national recruiting team together. Mm-hmm. What, for lenders that have only been local lenders or maybe two state lenders, what resources do you need? You talked about the CRM now, but what does it look like? And what would you suggest to our listeners that were thinking about doing that?
Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I may be doing things a little differently. But the way I look at building a team is you need the data in the CRM. Those are your tools. You need someone that can be a data miner, someone mm-hmm. who is going to that your recruiters can call on to say, hey, could you build this list for me? I'm looking for loan officers in Sewanee, Georgia, with, you know, production between X and Y that's doing, you know, 20 mm-hmm. plus percent on FHA, right? Mm-hmm. The reason I say you want that person on your team is just from experience, I could spend hours building that list just because I'm going to get sidetracked. And like, that's not the best and highest use of my time. Like building a list is not what you would want a recruiter spending their entire day on. So have somebody that's going to be able to take that off of the recruiter's plate so that they can be more proactive in sales activities and making the calls and doing the outreach. So you've got the data miner, you've got the cold call, the recruiters that are going to be out there, you know, beating the bushes, building relationships, making introductions, building trust, and really starting to get planting the seeds. And then I think you need a community builder, someone who's going to create this community that yeah. they can attract loan officers to, that gives them an opportunity to build trust on a frequent basis and have this opportunity to gain value. And that's what I've done with the Lowdown and the community that we're building there is it's something that helps us. The biggest frustration that I identified in my career, Pat, was that if I called someone today and they told me they weren't interested, traditionally what you would do is mark that in your CRM, set a follow-up for 60 to 90 days later, and then you call them again. Well, what does that do? Like, you're starting over 60 or 90 days later. Like, now they're wondering, who are you? They don't even remember the previous conversation. Odds are you don't really remember it either. You just have maybe a note in there. But, you know, most loan officers are getting called 10 to 15 or more times a week by recruiters. So right. So then you've got to find a way to stand out sort of in the in-between time, right? And mm-hmm. and make consistent contact and bring something to them that's useful and of value. And so, you know, leaning on some of the concepts that I've been researching from, you know, different marketers and what have you, you know, you build this community out where, you know, you have a newsletter, you've got, you know, the community where you can collaborate with other loan officers mm-hmm. and you bring out these different things of value that you put together this playbook or this one pager or these things so that they're little breadcrumbs and leave behinds that you can share that also give you, it's a little bit of an off ramp, right? Mm-hmm. I call you and say, hey, Pat, I would love to recruit you. You know, would you like to have a conversation? I don't do it this way. Okay. Sorry. It's just very elementary kind of example, but, and they're going to say, no, thanks. Well, okay, I'll call you in 60 days, right? Well, or now we can have an off-ramp to say, well, okay, I get that, but would you be open to being a part of this weekly newsletter that now you can get some value every week? This is what's included in that and so on and so forth. And, you know, usually you get a yes to that because it's not a big deal, right? Like it's a much less ask and it's still serving and supporting the loan officer. And so I think when you go into building a national, you know, recruiting platform by design, you need to have something that allows you to start building a list to follow up with that you're, mm-hmm. being intentionally engaged with, as opposed to just smile and dial, move on to the next, I'll meet you in 60 to 90 days and hope for good timing. Recruiting is not built on good timing. A lot of people say that, but if your strategy is to time it right, you're going to lose a lot.
Yeah.
You will call them today and they'll say no thanks, and then 45 days later, they're going to be somewhere else and you're going to go, I'm about to call them 15 days from now. So,
yeah, no, I agree with you completely. Well, it applies to selling in general. Mm-hmm. So I have a million questions, but we only have a few minutes left. And so talk about what has changed. And since you've been recruiting for a long time, what do you think has changed in the last few years or more recently in a more difficult market? What is it that you see is more important?
Well, what's changed is there's less loan officers.
Sure.
And, you know, the standard that most companies hold for recruiting is going to be 2 or 3 loans a month. And so we've got an even smaller population that meet those standards. And so that's what's changed. I mean, when you go back to 2020, depending on what statistics you believe, I've seen some different ones out there. But, you know, I think there were the last numbers I saw, there were somewhere around 400,000 loan officers in the business in 2020. Today, it's, let's call it half of that, maybe less than half, somewhere in that ballpark. So, you know, that increases the amount of calls that every loan officer that's still in the business today is getting from guys like me. So you really do have to find a way to stand out, have a real conversation, and just kind of get to a one-on-one relationship. And you can't live off of email and text message. It's so easy to ignore and pay no attention to, and it becomes really like cumbersome at some point where it just gets really annoying and then you get blocked. You've got to make an intentional effort, do the research, show the respect, and make sure that when you got somebody on the phone, you're not coming in totally cold and just winging it, but that you've got a little bit of knowledge about who you're talking to, and then approach the conversation from a place where you are genuine about learning about them. If you know nothing about them or you've never talked to them before, how in the world can you speak to their situation?
Right. Like,
you know nothing about them. So you really got to, you know, humble yourself in that moment too and say, listen, Pat, we don't know each other. We've never talked. For me to throw value props at you out of context makes no sense. So don't worry about it. I'm not going to go there. But tell me what's important to you. Like, I would really love to understand that because I talk with a lot of originators. And I'm always looking to find out more about that. And then start building on that. And from there, who knows where it goes, but at least you're treating them like real human beings and showing an actual interest and not just trying to say, we'll give you a bunch of money or, you know, your basis points will be through the roof. Come join us and, you know, being real generic. So,
that's selling 101 today for sure. So time has flown by, Connor. And talk about, I guess, the takeaways for today for our listeners. What are some of the things that are really important from your viewpoint?
Yeah, it boils down to just building by design, not by default. Communicating clear expectations from both sides of the table when it comes to developing the platform and just making sure that when you go out to recruit that you understand what you're up against in terms of the level of competition and that you treat it with respect and dignity and, you know, and really just try to be a human being and not a machine that's just going down the list making cold calls. So I think if you do those three things, you come out ahead you know, good things are in your future.
Well, I highly recommend our listeners today to reach out to Connor. Connor, how can they get in touch with you?
Easiest place to find me is on LinkedIn. Sure. You know, I'm there and I post frequently there. You can find me there, Connor Bartley. I'm on Facebook too, but not really. Yeah, I'm working on it. And then, you know, there's also the Lowdown community where we're delivering high value content for evolving originators every week and really trying to help LOs that know what they're doing, that want to grow and scale, but need the resources and information to get there. And that's what the Lowdown is all about, is just trying to give that kind of information to that loan officer and help them and support them in their growth.
Well, I highly recommend our listeners to reach out to Connor. He's not only a great guy, but he's so knowledgeable about the recruiting. And certainly he is a great person for resource purposes. So, Connor, I appreciate you sharing all your wisdom today. And for our listeners, certainly subscribe and hear from our weekly podcast on different topics in the mortgage business. Thanks so much, Connor.
Thanks, Pat.
Thanks for listening to Mortgage Manager Playbook. You can catch up on all our episodes by subscribing to receive each week a new show. Don't forget to share this podcast with your friends and team members. If you're looking to increase production, call me to discuss my prospecting sales training program, Ramping Up Realtor Referral Sources. Check out my website, www.patsherlock.com.